Well, what's up? My name is Mike Hickerson. I'm honored to be the lead pastor of Mission Church, and I just like I've watched that thing probably 750 times since they sent it around to me, and I like it's so compelling. I'm so proud and honored to be a part of this church, to be watch how God is moving in and through the people that make up Mission, and how He's using people to impact our community, to impact our neighborhoods, to help other people find and follow Jesus. It's like the privilege of my life. This guy next to me is the beard. That's what I refer to him as. Now his name is Jim Sheldon. He's executive pastor here. He helped found Mission. He's an incredible leader, great friend.
We're just going to walk right past the fact that your wife was up here with an axe.
Yeah, we had to make sure she had to take the axe back. Yeah, I hope she's not taking that home. It's a weapon. Where's the security team when you need them? No, you're in a room full of imperfect people, and this stage included. He's really imperfect. You just ask his wife. She'll tell you everything.
We got a list every day.
But you walk in, and you need to know that we're very much imperfect people that have been rescued by a really good God. And we don't claim perfection, but man, we want to be faithful to the call that God has placed on our lives of being obedient to Him, of being rescued sons and daughters. And that means that we believe that God is who He says He is, will do everything that He's promised to do, that He sent His Son Jesus into the mess of humanity, into the mess of our lives, to rescue us and restore us back to our God-given right to become the children of God. And that's what we are because God sent Jesus to pay that price for us. And that means because of that, there's hope for everyone. Not just like people that are hustling their way towards God because you can't earn your way towards God. God made a way for us to be in relationship because He canceled the debt against us. And that is really, really good news. And that means that there's hope for every single one of us. And we've been a church that's been on this rooted journey where we wanted to be anchored into that reality. We wanted who Jesus says we are, who God says we are, to be the foundation of our lives. We wanted deep roots into that truth, but we also wanted wide roots of influence and impact so that we can have influence on our community to help other people find and follow Jesus. That's what we've been going after. So what we're going to do today is walk through what the rooted life looks like, because it's not just a culmination of a life. It's talking about the culmination of the generosity journey we went on, but we want to make sure this rooted life continues, where we live out of that. So we want to look back and we want to look forward, but I'm going to need some help, so you're going to have to participate in this thing, and you may have to stand up, but we won't embarrass you too much. I'm just kidding. But you'll stand up and you'll go back down. It'll be really easy. You'll be fine. Nobody will be hurt in the happening of this. So what I want to do is if you are somebody that started the first time you came to Mission was in the last 2 years, like you started attend Mission in the last 2 years, would you stand up for me? It's just in the last 2 years. Wow, that's amazing. So that's crazy. All right, you can grab a seat now. See, that wasn't too painful. And those of you that didn't want to stand up because you wanted to see how embarrassing it was, now you know that you can stand up if it applies to you. It'll be all right. All right, if you are one of the people, Jody said in the video, it was about 240. If you're one of the people that have been baptized in the last 2 years at Mission, would you stand up for me? Man, that is incredible. So cool. I mean, that's why we exist as a church. In fact, over the life of Mission, there's been over 600 people that have gone public with their faith in Jesus. It is ridiculous to think about. And again, these aren't people that stood up, aren't perfect people that got their lives put together and like cleaned up really nice for God and had looked presentable to Him. No, these are people that are going like, my life is a mess without God and I'm in need of a Savior. And so I want to go public with that so that Jesus can be my Lord and Savior. And I want to start now living out of that reality. So no perfect people got in the water. No perfect people came out of the water. Just forgiven people came out of the water. And then call and much love sons and daughters that way. So a couple more. If you, in the last 2 years over the rooted journey, if you started volunteering on any team around here, or maybe even for Night to Remember, volunteering, or if you got into a group or some type of community in the last 2 years, would you stand up for me? So volunteering in the last 2 years, you're getting community. That's amazing. So cool. All right, you can sit back down. See, not too embarrassing. Last one. So if God has used Mission over the last 2 years to grow your faith and help you follow Jesus in a more compelling way, or a more way that you're being transformed from the inside out, would you stand up over the last 2 years if that's you, if God has used Mission to do that? See, Jim's not standing either. Jim's not standing either, so that's good. That's awesome. All right, thank you. That's why we did Rooted, right? Because we wanted to be the kind of people, we didn't want to just give to a thing, because the building's cool, but it's just a tool. We wanted to be the kind of people that had influence and impact to help our community, help our neighbors, to help our friends on our teams, to help everyone find and follow Jesus and grow up in him and get connected and be released into the kingdom to play, because God has an opportunity for all of us. And so if you're just checking mission out today, you need to know that this is what we're about and what we're going after, and we're going to look back a little bit, and so you're going to know the story of mission probably in and out by the time you leave here, but we're also going to look forward, and you're going to know what we're calling everybody to and what we're going after. So this anchor verse for us is Colossians 2:6-7. It's where we've been for the last couple years. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's what we've gone after together, and you need to know we're not claiming perfection in these areas, but that's what we've tried to say. We want to be the kind of people, not the steeple people, but the church as the people, that have our lives anchored into who Jesus is, and that's the anchor of our lives and the foundations of our lives. And we found that we needed to grow in trust. That's what we've kind of challenged everybody to become the right people. That confident reliability that God is both willing and able to do everything that he says that he would do. We want to be anchored in that trust. And then we started asking questions like, what would it look like for me to trust God more? And you're like, oh, that's a hard one to write in like a little journal somewhere to see that. Because then you have to answer that. And you're like, well, no, I like just going to church and not believing that God is both willing and able to do everything he's promised to do. And I just kind of play the game on Sunday and call it good. But when you start going, okay, if I'm going to put some like action behind my trust, what would it look like for me to trust God more if he was the most important thing about me? Man, that'll lead you to some places of some sacrifice, and that'll lead you into some places of vulnerability. That'll lead you to some place where you have to like lean on Jesus for who he says that you are. And then we talked about sacrifice, where we said we want to give up something that we love for something that we love even more. And we see this model in the life of Jesus. That's who we want to be as a church, is that we give up sometimes what makes us comfortable so that it can help somebody, the people that God loves even more. We want to be able to do that together. Surrender. We want to be able to let God lead our lives. Some of us have gotten really good at surrendering to the police officers. We know how to do that. But when it comes to, just kidding. When it comes to God, we're not real good at it. Like, we white knuckle our lives because we think we got it from here. You know, thank you for the rescue. Thank you for the, like, being a son of God. I'll take it from here. You go rescue everybody else or daughter of God. And I'll just white knuckle my life from here because I'm a little bit nervous of what happens when I like surrender my life to you of what you're going to take me to. And we talked about faithfulness. And how we wanted to be the kind of people that have just this steady way that we have the faithfulness about us. And that success is obedience to what Jesus has called us to. Nothing more, nothing less. Success is faithful obedience to that. And that's the people we're trying to become. And we talked about when you start getting rooted in that of who God is and what he's called us to and what he's done for us, and our roots go down deep and our roots are wide with impact, man, it just leads to gratitude and thankfulness. A life that overflows that way because you understand, you start getting a grasp of how high and wide and deep the love of God, and that he gave so much to us and it just turns us into thankful, generous people. And that's what we've been going after together. It's been crazy. It's been an amazing ride together and figuring out everything that God has done over this last season. And so I just asked Jim, like, hey, help us go all the way back and think through a couple things and maybe tell some of the stories.
Yeah, so you heard some of the numbers in the video over the last 2 years. But some other things that we're celebrating over the last 2 years are these numbers on the screen. So 576. That represents the number of households, families, and individuals that turned in commitment cards to participate in Rooted over the last 2 years. So 576 households, families, and individuals. If you were around, you remember the primary goal of Rooted was 100% participation, that 100% of us that call Mission Home would go on this journey. And more than 1,400 people gave over the last 2 years, a dollar or more towards Rooted. And every dollar makes a difference, and that's 1,400 people that participated in the generosity of this place, which is just incredible. 5.3 million. If you were around, the original primary goal was 100% participation. The secondary goal out of everyone's participation, we thought 5.3 million was the number that might be given over 2 years. If you were here, it was 3.3 million towards the ministry budget, 2 million towards construction and renovation of this building. And over the last 2 years, the amount given equals $5.3 million, which is just unbelievable.
It's crazy.
154 represents the number of households that turned in commitment cards that met or exceeded their commitment over 2 years. And so I just want to say thank you to give sacrificially for that long, to it, like persevere through 2 years and all the stuff that comes. I just want to say thank you. If that's you, thank you for persevering and leading the way when it comes to sacrificial generosity. For all of us that turn in commitment cards, I fully believe that it was our heart's desire and intent to give and hit that number, and life happens and stuff happens, and we're still trusting God in the midst of that. So I hope it's like we're hitting the culmination of Rooted. You carry zero guilt and zero shame over a number that you wrote on a piece of paper. This is about your heart and its position to God. And so if you participated in any way, super grateful for your generosity. And then the last number is 2,400. Over 2,400 mugs have been given away in the last 2 years, which represents not only a lot of coffee, but a lot of new people that have come over the last 2 years to check out Mission. More than 2,400 people have stopped to get a mug, which is really cool. And honestly, we could share numbers all day. Like, we take the rest of the service and just share numbers, because it's crazy what God is doing in this place, and numbers represent stories. But I thought it'd be really cool to just tell the narrative, kind of just some context to the story that God's writing at Mission. God reminds his people all the time to tell stories of how they've seen God be faithful in the past, because it reminds us of who God is and why he's trustworthy and how he might be moving in the future. And so just kind of the story that gives some context to the Rooted journey. We launched as a church September 2011, as a portable church plant. We met in the Century 16 movie theater on Johnson, loaded in, loaded out. We did that for a year, and then the Century 16 theater moved to River Park. So they closed the doors. We moved to Balboa Middle School for 5 weeks, and through a providential relationship with the president of distribution at Paramount Motion Pictures, he happened to know the CEO of Cinemark and knew that the building was going to remain empty for 4 years because Cinemark had a lease on it, and they had 4 years until the lease was over. So as all church plants do, you end up on the phone call with the CEO of Cinemark talking about his building that's going to be empty. And he's like, yeah, you guys can totally use it. We're like, that's great. We're 200 people as a church plant and have no money. Can we still use it? And he kind of laughed and he's like, yeah, whatever you can afford. So that became our home for 4 years, meeting in that theater. We knew that we had till 2016, and that's when Cinemark's lease would expire, and we'd have to figure out with the owners of that building what the future of Mission would look like in terms of facility. So 2015, we know that year is coming. We're a year away from 2016. We start like chasing down the owners of the theater, like writing letters, sending emails, phone calls, Googling addresses of board members, trying to get some contact.
You're going to get arrested as being a stalker at one point. So
I was willing to
fly to Texas. Business addresses.
So I was willing to fly to Texas to get an answer. Like, we need to know, can we meet in this building? And no response. So we decided we probably need to start looking for a facility, a place to call home. And so at that time, vacancy for commercial property in Ventura was under 2%. Like, it was really hard to find a location that had the square footage we need and the parking that a church needs. So we set out looking, and we found this really cool property that wasn't for sale. The guy said he would never sell it. He just wanted it to be an income property for him and his kids. No intention to ever sell it. It was 5353 Walker Street, which is this address. So we started a conversation with him about leasing this property, and he said, you know, I'm willing to do that. We got all the way down to like one contingency that we couldn't hammer out. We met face-to-face with this guy for 2 hours and still couldn't come to an agreement on this one contingency. The whole lease deal falls apart.
We feel like really good leaders in this after that meeting. It was awesome.
Mike and I walk out of the room. It's like, I think we're doing this wrong. Like, I don't know why we couldn't get that one deal locked in. And really, we're scratching our heads. Like, all right, God, where are you leading us in this thing? And 2 days later, the owners of the theater call back and are like, hey, sorry for not returning your calls or emails or letters or notes. And they said, but you can stay. So we normally don't talk about property this far. You got a year left, like, but 3 to 5 years shouldn't be a problem. Just relax. We'll get you a contract sometime next year. So like, oh my goodness, could you imagine? Like, we almost signed a lease for something when we could stay in the theater. Like, that must have been God, like, shutting that thing down. Fast forward 6 months later, it's May 2016, Mission's growing, we're out of space, we're realizing like we gotta add services, and if we're gonna stay in this theater, like we have an opportunity where we could do some light renovation and add seats for adults and improve the space for kids and do more ministry out of this building. So we call the owners back and we're like, hey, we know you said you're gonna get us something, but like, it's May, are we still tracking, are we good? And they're like, oh yeah, we'll get you something this fall, don't worry about it, 3 to 5 years still looks like the plan. Great. So we kick off making space with the goal to raise $350,000 over the next 6 months. And we do that. And then the following week, we're sitting in the lobby and some people walk into the building and it's the asset management team from the owners of the theater with contractors and architects and investors. And we're like, that's not a good sign.
And that's
like,
not for us. They're not for us.
No, yeah. They start dreaming about what we could do in this building if they was, and I'm going, So I called the president of the group I just talked to and he had no clue that his team was here. So he's like, yeah, apparently we're not on the same page with that building. He's like, sit tight. We'll get back to you. I'm like, okay, just sit tight, I guess. And so we did for the summer. We just kind of waited and go like, what is going on? And finally, he's like, yeah, we're not on the same page with this building. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm really sorry. We can commit to 6 months at a time. And I really can't do anything beyond that. And we're like, well, we can't move that quickly. So we puts us literally back to square one a year later. And we're like, what was that whole year about? So we started looking for properties again, just couldn't get our mind off of this location. And there weren't even a lot of options. So we're like, how do you start a conversation when you walked away from it? Like there's zero leverage in the business world. Like it's not a good position.
Hey, we're back.
Please don't charge us a ton of money. We do have other options.
We're not desperate.
So we're like, I guess we submit an offer to purchase, and then when he turns that down, we'll talk about negotiating a lease. So we wrote an offer, submitted it to purchase, and he replies, he's like, I'll do it. We can close in 60 days. I'm like, what? We were joking. We don't have a plan. We don't have a way to do it. He called our bluff, and so that set us scrambling. Like, oh my gosh, he's like willing to sell. Well, we were able to close in 120 days, not 60, but we were able to close, came up with $500,000 to put down on this building, secured the financing, started the process with the city. In February 2017, we had the keys to 53 Walker Street, which is just incredible, right?
Great. We're really good leaders.
Right, yeah. Really good strategy. So if you put that back up on the screen, if you take a look at like this timeline, I think what's important to draw from this is like, if you forget the narrative, like that happened in real time. That's really how we were feeling in the midst of that. And you go back and look and you're like, man, had the lease conversation not fallen apart, had we been able to hammer out one contingency, we'd have signed a lease on a building that we now own. We for sure, had the owners not called and said we could stay, would have gone and looked for other properties and signed a lease so we had somewhere to go as a church, but they said we could stay. Then fast forward to May, when we called the owners, had they been on the same page, we wouldn't have done making space. And had we done making space, we would not have had the money in the bank to put a down payment together to close on a building 120 days later that we almost leased the year before. So it's almost as if at each step of this journey, we were being faithful to what God was doing and where he was leading us. And we kept trying to rewrite the plan every time. Like, okay, now we know where it's going. Okay, now we know where it's going. And I don't know, maybe your life has ever felt that way. But that's a lot of times how God leads. And it's almost like when he's leading us that way, he knows he really can't handle the whole plan. We can handle a step at a time. And he's got this. And so when you think about this building, when you drive by it on the 101, when you walk into this building for a recovery meeting or an event or services on Sunday, let it remind you of who God is, how powerful he is, and how he's at work in ways that we can never tell. This building is not something we worship. It is a reminder of the one that we worship. And so it is a tool for him to use for ministry, and it is amazing to see how he got us here. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's been an amazing journey. It's grown my faith. God has transformed my life through the journey of this church, and so thankful to be part of it. This was always supposed to be a lighthouse. Like, this space was always supposed to be a lighthouse in this coastal city for people to have to experience the hope that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ and the transformation that only comes through that. So we're not like awesome people. We serve a really great God who rescues and saves and restores. It's crazy. 2 years ago when we started the Rooted journey, there was about 900 people that would like call Mission Family and Home. Today, there's about 1,800 people that call Mission Family and Home. So if you think about the organizational complexity of that, that's created over the last few years, it's been an awesome journey to watch.
A lot of donuts.
It's a lot of donuts and mugs, apparently.
And mugs, yeah.
But it's been incredible, and it's always been about people. It's always been about people finding hope. And this thing is not just like a thing to worship, like Jim said. This is a tool to use to help people find the hope that only can be found through a relationship with Jesus. And that's what we've gone and leveraged our lives after. And the whole while that we were doing it, we wanted to put down deep roots in this location, but we also wanted to have roots of influence and wide roots. We're biased to church planting. We want to help churches get started. And so last September, we got to start, like you saw in the video, Mission City Church in Santa Barbara. And I am like so stoked and proud to be part and next to people like that are taking ground and filling up heaven. heaven and extending the hope that Jesus offers there. But we've been sneaky, and you don't know this. So we've been praying and planning behind the scenes, and this is the first time that I get to tell you this. I want to introduce you to Brent and Jenna Bramer via the screen and their four kids. So Brent and Jenna Bramer are launching a church, and we've been sneaky about it. They're launching a church in San Luis Obispo next fall in September. They've been hanging out at Mission City for 9 months and then living in San Luis Obispo for 9 months as well. Like, we are so stoked to be able to help this church get off the ground. They're incredible. Slow City Church is coming in the fall. It is going to be unbelievable. I'll let Brent kind of tell the story of it, but I am like incredibly excited to be biased to a place that like we don't want to just keep this for ourselves. We want to help more people find and follow Jesus up and down this coast. Any way that we could plant churches that would be autonomous, we'd be in to help for that. And it's been cool to see what God has done. So here's Brent and Jenna, or Brent Bramer.
Hey, Mission. My name is Brent Bramer, and I am the lead pastor and church planter in San Luis Obispo, California. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Jenna, for almost 15 years, and we have four crazy kids together, Keegan, Cole, Hattie, and Isla. And about 2 years ago, God put a burden, a call on our hearts. And that call led us into conversations and prayers and wisdom seeking from guys like Mike and women like Jody and Jen and TD, Jake and Sean at Mission City Church. And those conversations and prayers led us to a city on the Central Coast that we believe was in need of a Jesus-centered church that screams, that lives hope for everyone. And about 9 months ago, my family packed up our bags. We moved 3,000 miles across the country, and we started living in San Luis Obispo. We started meeting people, coaching soccer, going to parties, having dinner parties at our house, and connecting with people. And we have just been overwhelmed with how awesome God is, how quickly he's moving, and just what God's doing to build his church here. And so here in the next couple months, Slow City Church will be officially launched. We've already kind of slowly launched. We're meeting monthly now. We have about 80 people already gathering together, and we're just really excited about what God's doing. We've been able to serve the city and partner with schools and the city and just serve the city in a really, really tangible and practical way. And we couldn't thank you enough for being a big brother to us. A group of people who are praying for us, who are behind us. And we just wanted to say thank you for being a part of our story up here. We're a mission church. We're Slow City Church, and we're so excited about what God's doing. We can't wait to be with you here in a couple weeks. We'll be down on the 28th and would love to meet you, to shake your hand. If you know anybody up here and you want to send them our way, we would love to connect with them. So thank you, Mission, for being a church that's about other churches being planted all up and down the coast of California and all over the world. Thanks for being behind us, for rooting us on, and we couldn't be more grateful for you. Hope to see you soon. Thanks again.
I'm so stoked. It's going to be an incredible, and I'm going to feel privileged to be a part of it. And we are going to keep planting churches. This isn't about us being great. It's about God being really, really great. And this is just our run at trying to be obedience. If success is obedience and we want to be faithful to God, then we're going to leverage our one and only life. I'm not going to go Eminem on you right now, but we get one shot at this life, and we want to spend it wildly because we believe that God is who he says he is, and he can extend and rescue and save and transform lives, and that transforms family lines and communities, and that's what we want to invest in and we want to go after. Even when some young punks, we're dead and gone, and some young punks make the wrong decisions, it's just our turn to be, I'm kidding, it's just our turn, and we want to run this race with faithful obedience. And you may be noticing, like, we've put every chair out that we started with in this building. Like, we started with just the ones that are here, and then we've been growing and need to put them out. And you need to know that the goal isn't just to be big, all right? That's not the goal, to be big. But if you don't like big, you're like, of people getting rescued, then you're going to hate heaven someday. So Sorry about that. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to go wide with influence. And so as we're thinking about Santa Barbara and Mission City, and we're thinking about Slo City and San Luis Obispo, we're also thinking about what do we need to do in our county at this time. And so we're praying and planning for our county right now, and that's all I'm going to tell you about that. But get ready for the future. We're trying to figure out where God is leading and maybe what we can be about and what we're going to go towards. So let me just anchor in on this verse real quick. Psalm 37 has been helpful for me. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. So I just want to say, God has placed you somewhere, on a team, in a neighborhood, in a job, wherever he has placed you, at a school. I don't know where he's placed you, but that is the land. And so put your roots down in that land of where God has called you, of who he's called you to be, of who he says you are in Christ, of the rescued you that you are. Dwell in that land and cultivate faithfulness. Like, to stir up the soil of your heart. And like anchor in on who God says you are, and that be the most important thing about you. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness and delight yourself in the Lord. Like live a life of joy with God because he's been so good to you and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you're like, sweet, I've always wanted, you know, a Land Rover. So I'm gonna do that. I was, well, when you dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness and delight yourself in the Lord, he changes the desires of your heart. So just fair warning. So you're not just going to get a menu and say, if you give me this, then we're good. It doesn't work that way. It changes the desires of your heart. And then you commit your way to the Lord. Some of us are committophobics. They're like, man, I don't know. What's God going to ask of me if I have to trust him more? But you commit your way to the Lord as like, he's the leader and Lord, and I'm under his authority, and I'm going to make sure that that's what my life is about. And then you trust also in him, and he will do it. That confident expectation that God is both willing and able to accomplish all of his promises. And that is where a good life is led. And that's where a rooted life is lived. And that's where influence comes from. And that's where transformation comes from. I love this quote from Charles Stanley. It says, God takes full responsibility for the life that is wholly devoted to him. And so for those of you who are like, no, I'm good, God. You rescued me. I'll take it from here. Then you're taking responsibility for your life. But I'm going to put God on the hook for my life because I think he's a better driver of it. And so God, for the record, I want my life to be wholly devoted to you. So you take full responsibility for it. That's what I want to go after. So just a couple challenges of what this means for us in this rooted life, both looking back and looking forward, is that I'm living in this tension. I think it's helpful for us to know this is both special and normal. I know that's weird, but like, this is crazy, guys. Like the story that God is writing, this is ridiculous. This is not a normal thing to be a part of a church plant and a church that's helping transform lives and rescue and plant other churches. That is so stinking ridiculous that God is doing that. And it's normal, right? If God is who he says he is, then he needs to transform lives. And if it's not about us and we're just faithful, obedient to what he's gone to, and we're trying to lift him up, then he says that he will draw people to himself. So it's completely normal. And it's ridiculously special. So I don't know where you're at in that tension, but that's where I live on a daily basis. The second part of it, what it means for us, is that you're invited. Don't sit on the sidelines. God's got land that you're dwelling in. Cultivate faithfulness. He's tapped you on the shoulder. He's got a role for you to play. He's got stuff for you to invest in. He's got people that need to be in heaven, and he needs you to be a part of that journey with them. He needs you to help people find and follow Jesus. He needs you, most likely, to grow up and believe him for who he says he is and become faithful because he's got stuff that he wants to do in and through your life. And there's people that will be in heaven because of the decisions that you make that you're invited into this game. Now, another thing is that we're part of a bigger story. It's just our turn to run this lap of our race. We're not God's gift to Ventura. Mission isn't at all. We're not even God's gift to church planting. Jesus is, all right? Jesus is God's gift. We're just running our faithful lap that we've been given to run. We got to move from being a fan to being a follower of Jesus. Not just be like pro-Jesus, but maybe moving into, I'm like, he's the boss of my life. And if he's the boss of my life, that means the boss of everything about me and everything going on in my life. We've got to move from attending church to being the church. Attending is not bad, but we come and see so that we can go and be. We invite friends to come and see this man who told me everything I did. That's, you know, for Jesus. Come and see, come and see, come and see. But it doesn't stop there when we get into Rose. We want to be the church, be the kind of people that live that out where we live, work, and play, because you have no idea what God would want to do in and through your life where he's placed you. But I know that it's going to be about reaching our friends. It's all about reaching our friends. The closer you get to God, you cannot escape it. The more you grow up in Jesus, the more you grow up and get closer to God, it is always about lost people. So the more mature you get, it's going to be helping other people find the hope that you've experienced. And so the more mature you get, if you know no lost people, you may be missing the mark of why God sent Jesus to the planet. The more mature you grow up, the more you follow God, it should always lead towards filling heaven up. Because that's what his desire has always been. And that's what we're going after together. I want you to pray with me. God, you're good. And you're great. I am so stinking grateful for the men and women and families in this room that have sacrificially lived out a humble faith in you for a long time. For the stories that I may never even know on this side of eternity of how they have reached people or invested in people or invited people or surrendered stuff that they've been holding on to for a long time. And you just happen to use our church to be part of it. I am just incredibly humbled by that. There are some heroes of faith in this room. Thanks that we get to be a part of it and next to them. God, we just know that you have stuff for us. God, for people that are trying to figure you out and trying to figure out if they can trust you, if they can believe in you, that's why we exist as a church. That's why you sent your son, Jesus. God, would you be kind to them on the journey of being transformed into you like I know that you will be. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.